Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You gave us quite a stack of sources this time detailing a, well, a massive years-long civil war inside a residential strata scheme over in Western Australia.
It's certainly a complex one.
Right. So our mission, as always, is pretty simple. Cut through all that legal noise and show you how a neighborhood squabble over management just escalated and escalated.
Into a full-blown state administrative tribunal ruling, Wasat 93.
Exactly. And it's really a masterclass in bureaucratic collapse, wouldn't you say?
I think that's fair. It highlights so many potential pitfalls.
We are diving into what feels like the ultimate high-stakes, low-level dispute. Who really holds the power when neighbors stop talking and, well, start litigating?
That's right. We're looking at the 2025 ruling concerning the owners of the waterfront apartments, Stage 1, Strata Scheme 69486. And the whole deep dive really hinges on two key individuals, Lorraine Godwin. She was an occupier and acting as attorney for an owner.
Oh, okay.
And she was absolutely determined to fire the strata manager. And then there's Paul Keat, the managing director of Strata Asset Services, or SAS.
Right, SAS. So the core drama is immediate. Mrs. Godwin tried basically everything to terminate SAS's contract. She was alleging years of invalid governance actions.
Yeah, and because of that, the tribunal had to, like, peel back the layers, go right back through the scheme's history just to answer one vital question.
Was the contract actually terminated?
Precisely. Did SAS's contract actually end?
Okay.
But to answer that, they had to start right at the beginning. Because, you know, you can't legally terminate a contract if the body trying to fire you, the Council of Owners, was maybe never legally valid itself.
I see. So the whole case became this, like, forensic audit of their democratic process, or lack thereof.
Exactly. A real governance quagmire.
Okay, let's set the scene a bit more. This strata scheme, it has 20 lots. Mrs. Godwin's main claim wasn't just, oh, the manager is bad. It was much deeper.
Much deeper. She was saying that basically every action they took was compromised because the Council of Owners itself was fundamentally invalid.
So what were the scheme's own internal rules, the ones that kind of set the stage for this spectacular failure?
Well, the foundational rules are pretty strict and actually quite common across most strata schemes.
Mm.
The governance bylaws here, specifically bylaws 16 and 17, they require the council to have between 3 and 7 members.
3 to 7, okay.
And more importantly, the required quorum for any council meeting is 3 members.
3, that's the magic number.
That's the magic number. If you don't have 3, you don't have a valid meeting.
And for a couple years, they were okay. They hit that number.
Yes, initially.
Mm-hmm.
The 2020 and the 2021 annual general meetings, the AGMs, they were clean. Valid councils were elected. No problems there.
But then, 2022.
Yes, the 2022 AGM. The owners resolved to elect 4 members, which is fine. It's within the 3 to 7 range.
Right.
But when the ballots were counted, only 2 candidates were actually validly elected. Pete Alkemos, Piney LTD, and Ms. Manderson.
Okay, wait. What happened to the other 2 they were supposed to elect?
Well, the tribunal found that 2 other individuals had put in expressions of interest, but they failed some basic tests under the bylaws.
Like what?
One was unfinancial, hadn't paid their levies. The other lacked the necessary consent from their co-owner. Simple stuff, really, but it violated bylaw 15.
Oh.
And the result. They only had 2 validly elected members when they needed that minimum of 3 for a quorum.
Okay, so that's not just a slip-up. That sounds like a genuine procedural fatal flaw, because fewer than 3 valid members were elected.
The council was officially not quorum.
Right. So what does that mean in practical terms? Does everything just grind to a halt as the strata managers stop getting paid?
No, not quite. Mm. That's where the Strata Titles Act, the ST Act, steps in to prevent, you know, complete paralysis.
Okay.
Under Section 138, if there is no council, or if the number of members is too low for a quorum, which was exactly the case here, all the functions of the council are immediately transferred.
To who?
To all the owners acting together in a general meeting.
Wow. So instead of a small committee of, say, 4 or 5 people making decisions,
suddenly it's all 20 owners who have to collectively act as the council.
That sounds incredibly inefficient. A recipe for administrative chaos and probably total inaction.
It often is. And the tribunal found exactly that. All the decisions made by that non-quorate 2-person council between the 2022 AGM and the 2023 AGM,
yeah,
They all need to be reviewed and either confirmed or formally set aside by all the owners at a properly convened general meeting.
Oh my goodness, imagine the headache. The administrative cost of going back and retroactively vetting potentially a whole year's worth of decisions, big and small.
Exactly, huge burden.
And the chaos didn't stop there, did it? They managed to get it right for a bit.
They did. At the 2023 AGM and the first 2024 AGM, they managed to elect enough members, met the minimum of 3. The council was properly constituted then.
Okay, a brief return to normality.
Brief is the word. Because then, disaster struck again late last year, right?
Yeah.
At the second 2024 AGM held in December.
Don't tell me.
Yep. Same issue all over again. Only 2 owners nominated for council.
You're kidding. After all that.
Not kidding. Non-quorate. Again. So for the second time in just 3 years, the entire Strata company, all 20 owners, suddenly became the de facto council.
And all decisions made since December now need that same retroactive review process.
Correct. It really illustrates how easily owner apathy, or just simple procedural errors, can completely derail local governance in a Strata scheme.
Okay, so given this frankly bizarre history of non-quorate councils, you can kind of see why Mrs. Godwin might have thought the Strata manager's authority was, you know, completely compromised.
Understandable frustration, definitely.
So she decided to go for the full termination. This culminated in trying to hold an extraordinary general meeting, an EGM, in January 2024.
She tried to force the issue, yes.
But this is where she ran straight into the next big governance fatal flaw. The mandatory notice rules. It wasn't just about wanting to fire them.
Exactly. She failed to navigate the really strict statutory firewall that's designed, quite deliberately, to protect managers from arbitrary or procedurally flawed removal. Let's unpack the errors that just invalidated that whole January 2024 EGM attempt. Okay, first up, notice failure. She didn't give written notice to the validly elected council from 2023.
The one that was legitimate for a while.
Correct. She didn't give them notice asking them to convene the EGM. Nor did she wait the required 21 days after such a request, if she'd made one, before trying to call it herself.
And that 21 days, that's mandatory.
Absolutely mandatory. It's time for preparation for owners to consider for due deliberation. You can't just bypass it.
Waiting 21 days for a meeting notice. It doesn't sound like a huge bureaucratic hurdle on its own, but in the context of this really high-octane neighborhood dispute, rushing past that step was, well, lethal to her case, wasn't it?
Absolutely lethal, and it wasn't the only error.
Yeah.
Second, she had a quorum failure at the EGM itself.
Again with the quorum.
Again, only 7 out of the 20 lot owners actually showed up, either in person or by proxy.
How many did she need?
The ST Act requires persons entitled to cast votes attached to 50% of the lots. So in this 20-lot scheme, she needed 10 lots represented.
She only had 7.
Only 7. And worse, she apparently declared a quorum anyway, without waiting the necessary 30 minutes that the Act requires you to wait if a quorum isn't present at the start time.
Wait, seriously? She was so eager to get on with it, she didn't even wait the half hour mandated by the Act.
Apparently not, according to the tribunal's findings.
Wow. Okay, so the tribunal just threw it out. Declared the EGM and everything passed there, including her attempt to remove council members, completely invalid.
Correct. Total procedural failure. It really shows the kind of pressure and frustration that can build up in these disputes, causing people to skip steps that seem minor but are actually critical legal requirements, like waiting 30 minutes.
Okay.
And this EGM failure then directly set up the next failure, the actual termination attempt. Right after the EGM mess, she issued a formal notice of termination and also a show cause notice to SAS. That was January 29, 2024.
And these notices, they had specific legal requirements too, under Section 151 of the Act.
Yes, Section 151 is crucial. It's the system's due process mechanism for terminating a strata manager. And her notices had to follow it to the letter.
Did they? Let me guess.
Not even close.
Yeah.
The show cause notice, for instance, it completely failed to comply with the Section 151 right to reply rule.
Meaning
it didn't properly invite written submissions from STAS explaining why their contract shouldn't be terminated. And critically, it didn't specify the required 14-day period for SAS to provide that response.
So no proper chance for the manager to defend themselves.
Exactly. You can't just fire someone contractually without giving them that fair opportunity. It's fundamental.
Okay, what about the main notice of termination itself?
Equally deficient. Hmm. It failed the Section 151 mandatory 28-day waiting period rule. It didn't specify a termination date that was at least 28 days after the notice was given. That's a cooling off period, essentially.
Right.
And crucially, it also failed to inform SAS of their statutory right to apply to the tribunal for review of the termination decision. That's another mandatory piece of information.
So, let me get this straight. Ms. Godwin's entire concerted attempt to legally fire the Strata manager was completely thwarted. Not because the tribunal disagreed with her complaints about SAS, necessarily.
No, they didn't even get deeply into the substance of those complaints in this part of the ruling.
But purely because she missed these specific mandatory procedural hoops laid out in Section 151, deadlines, notification requirements.
That's precisely it. She went to all this effort, presumably significant legal expense, only to have the entire attempt invalidated on procedural grounds.
Okay, this brings us, I think, to the biggest takeaway from this entire ruling. Given the years of governance chaos, you know, the non-quorate councils, the invalid EGMs, did any of that chaos automatically terminate the contracts with SAS?
And this is the absolute legal linchpin of the case. The tribunal had to look at two separate management agreements SAS has had with the scheme. And this is where we see a really crucial legal distinction being made. The law basically treats governance failure, that's the owners making procedural mistakes among themselves, as fundamentally separate from contract termination, which is a deliberate action against the manager requiring its own specific process.
Okay, so the owners messing up their own meetings doesn't automatically fire the manager?
Not automatically, no. Let's look at the agreements. First, there was the 2021 agreement. It was initially signed for just 1 year.
Okay.
But it contained one of those automatic rollover clauses.
Okay.
Option one, they called it, allowing it to continue year after year for up to 5 years, unless one party gave 3 months' notice to terminate.
Pretty standard clause.
Very standard. However, the tribunal looked closely at the minutes from that chaotic 2022 AGM.
What did the minutes say about the contract?
They contained a specific motion, which was passed, resolving to continue the contract for a further 12 months. Just 12 months.
Not relying on the 5-year rollover.
Exactly. The tribunal ruled that this specific 12-month resolution passed by the owners, effectively superseded or overrode the broader 5-year rollover option for that period.
So the 2021 agreement wasn't terminated by Mrs. Godwin's invalid notices?
No. It simply came to its natural end date on June 19th, 2023, based on that specific 12-month renewal agreed at the 2022 AGM.
So it kind of died of natural causes, you could say, rather than being executed by Ms. Godwin?
That's a good way to put it. It just expired per the agreed term.
Okay, then we move to the next contract, the 2023 agreement, starting June 19th, 2023. And this is where the records conflicted.
Exactly right. The physical contract document itself, the paper agreement, it stipulated a 2-year term this time.
2 years, okay.
But the minutes from the 2023 AGM stipulated only a 12-month term.
Oh, dear. So the contract says one thing, the owner's meeting minutes say another. How common is that?
Depressingly common, actually. Schemes often have these documentation mismatches.
So how did the tribunal resolve that conflict? Which one takes precedence?
They gave primacy to the resolution passed by the owners in the general meeting, the democratic decision, essentially. So they effectively read down the contract's stated 2-year term to just 12 months. To align with the AGM minutes.
Okay, so it became a 12-month contract ending June 2024. But what happened then?
Well, that 12-month period then immediately triggered the same Option 1 renewal clause that was in the contract text.
Ah, the rollover clause kicks back in.
Right, meaning the contract automatically continued from June 2024, and it keeps continuing until it's properly terminated by notice, which hasn't happened validly, or until it hits that maximum 5-year duration.
Okay, this is the critical insight, I think, that we need to highlight for you, the listener. The fact that the council was illegally constituted, non-quorate, for big chunks of time in 2022 and again in late 2024.
That failure, that governance chaos.
Did not invalidate or terminate the Strata management contract itself.
Correct. The tribunal essentially drew a clear line. A governance breach, like failing to elect a proper council, is a breach of the owner's internal rules, their bylaws. A contract termination, on the other hand, is a specific action taken against the Strata manager, and it requires rigorous statutory compliance, namely following Section 151 perfectly.
So the law distinguishes between the Strata company being run incompetently by its owners and the Strata manager themselves being accused of breaching their contractual duties.
Precisely. They are separate issues legally. The owner's failure doesn't automatically void the manager's contract.
So the ultimate answer to that primary issue the tribunal had to decide was, despite years of chaos.
Simple and clear. The Strata manager's contract has not been terminated.
And the 2023 agreement
It remains in force, currently operating under that Option 1 renewal clause, because none of the termination attempts followed the mandatory procedures. Now, although Mrs. Godwin technically lost on the main question, the contract wasn't terminated, the tribunal couldn't just pack up and go home?
No, I guess not. They had this mountain of evidence showing the scheme's governance was, well, a total shambles.
Exactly. They explicitly acknowledged the severe disharmony within the scheme and the clear, repeated breaches of the governance bylaws, particularly the failure to maintain a quorum on the council.
So they had to do something more.
Yes. They decided to use their discretionary powers. The tribunal can do more than just declare winners and losers. It can make orders to impose certainty and hopefully minimize future disputes.
To try and fix the underlying problem.
Right. So they issued a series of binding declarations and then some very specific mandatory orders. These were designed to force the owners, basically, to clean up their own act and restore their own democracy.
Okay, let's look at what they threw out first, the declarations. What was officially declared invalid?
They listed 8 specific items, key among them. The Constitution of the Council following the 2022 AGM declared invalid. The Constitution of the Council following the December 2024 AGM also invalid.
So confirming those periods of non-quorate councils.
Precisely. Also declared invalid. Miss Godwin's January 2024 EGM, the council meeting that followed it, and of course, both the show cause notice and the notice of termination she issued.
So basically wiping clean every procedural maneuver Mrs. Godwin had attempted and simultaneously confirming the years of procedural failure by the owners themselves?
A comprehensive cleanup of the procedural record, yes. Then came the orders, the mandatory fix.
What were they ordered to do?
SAS. The strata manager, who, remember, is still legally contracted, was ordered within 30 days to call and hold a new general meeting of all owners.
Okay, a fresh start.
And specifically, Mr. Keat from SAS must chair that meeting and take the minutes. The tribunal clearly wanted a neutral, experienced hand guiding this crucial meeting.
Makes sense. And what's on the agenda for this meeting?
It has a 2-part mandatory agenda. Part one is pretty standard.
Election of a new council, presumably.
Exactly. Elect a new, hopefully valid council this time.
But the second part, that sounds like the real penalty for years of apathy and mistakes, doesn't it?
It really is. Part two requires the owners at that meeting to review and then either formally confirm or set aside all decisions made by the unconstituted non-quorate council during those 2 periods of invalidity.
For sure.
That long stretch from the January 2022 AGM up to the February 2023 AGM, and then the more recent period from the December 2024 AGM right up until this new general meeting is held.
Good grief. So this is the tribunal basically saying, look, we're not going to fix your democracy for you, but you absolutely must now go back through potentially 2 years of history, look at every single decision your illegal council made, spending money, hiring people, whatever, and vote on it again properly to make it legal.
That's exactly what it is. It forces the owners, collectively, to confront the true costs and consequences of their own procedural failures. They have to actively legitimize or reject the past actions taken without proper authority.
It ensures that all the money spent and all decisions made during those non-quorate periods are retrospectively blessed, if you like, by the strata company as a whole.
Restoring the chain of legal authority and transparency. Exactly. #TagOutre.
So wrapping this up, the key takeaway for you, the learner listening to this deep dive, is probably this. The legal system, at least in WA under the ST Act, places an extremely high bar for terminating a strata management contract.
At a very high bar, yes.
Even if your council has been illegally constituted for years, which is a massive governance failure in itself, that internal chaos doesn't give you a shortcut or a loophole to fire the manager.
No, only rigorous, almost pedantic statutory adherence to that termination process, Section 151 in this case, can successfully end the contract. The technicalities really matter.
The technicalities of governance termination often outweigh the perhaps justified political will of disgruntled owners.
And I think the significance here is also how the tribunal used its power. It didn't just judge who was technically right on the termination question. It actively intervened to force a specific pathway to fix the underlying governance failure.
Forcing them to clean up their own mess?
Forcing a mandatory governance cleanup. Ensuring democratic process is restored, even if it has to be done grudgingly by the owners now facing that backlog.
Right. That leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to chew on until next time. If the Strata Titles Act allows a management contract through these rollover clauses to potentially continue implicitly for up to 5 years.
Section 115.1 implies.
Even while the owners repeatedly fail at the basic task of electing a three-person council quorum, as happened here multiple times, how does that legal necessity of long-term contract stability, protecting the manager, balance against the immediate need for effective, local, democratic oversight by a valid council?
It's a real tension, isn't it? Which failure ultimately causes more damage to the community in the long run? The procedural failures of the owners to govern themselves, or the contractual difficulty and high bar for removing a potentially unsatisfactory manager?
Which is the bigger risk? Something for you to mull over. Join us next time for another deep dive.